Good morning. Am I on? Cool, I am on. All right, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville for Youth Sunday. As you can see, we had this beautiful snow yesterday, which is both a blessing and a curse. This morning as I opened up my car door, I had a large quantity of snow happen to fall into my driver's seat, which is always lovely. But this morning as we gather together, I just want to read for our call to worship Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says this: "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Let's come together this morning to sing of God's unfailing love and his faithfulness.
Thank you. come and worship you in spirit and truth. Father, we just pray that today you would speak to our hearts that what we need to hear from you, whether it be a moment of encouragement, a moment of reproof, just a kind word from someone sitting next to us today. Whatever it takes, Lord, we ask for you to intervene in our lives, just like you intervened in this world 2,000 years before and sent your Son. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us, and that all we're doing is returning a portion to you to do as we see fit. Father, we just lift up the pastor team and all those who are here in leadership. Father, we ask for your wisdom and your guidance.
the kids can come forward for the children's story and sit on the front bench. Okay, good morning, everyone. So, do any of you remember what we talked about last week in our story with Steve? No? Okay, well, last week we talked about how God is the maker of everything and he's the maker of our lives. And so this week we have to talk about a plan. And I'm not much of a woodworker, so I'm changing the theme a little bit and we're going to do some crocheting. So, does this look like anything to you yet? No. This doesn't look like anything because I'm following a plan and it's supposed to turn into a scarf, a very pretty scarf, if I follow my plan and finish it correctly. So that relates to God having a plan for our lives. He has a plan so that if we follow it and say that we trust God, then he will make something beautiful out of our lives. Just like this piece can make a beautiful scarf, just like this one. So we need to accept what God's plan is and follow what he tells us to do so that we can have something beautiful for our lives. And so to remind you of that, I think Lucy's actually sitting on it. I have these little, they're just little bracelets that you can wear to remind you that God has a plan for you and that if you listen to what he says, then your life will be amazing. So you can all take one and then go back to your seats.
Good morning. I'm Lauren Haller, and I'm the president of the youth group this year. So I'm going to start off by introducing the new committee. So committee members, if you can stand up and wave to the congregation, that would be great. Katie Ringler is our vice president. Carly Ringler is secretary, and she was not able to be here this week, sorry. Doug Becker is treasurer. Savannah Brubacher is worship leader. Say hi, Savannah. Dan Martin and Dwight Weaver are our historian team who made the slideshow for you. And now I'm gonna go over some of the events that we've been doing since the end of July, when we had our last Youth Sunday. On July 30th, we went fishing on the Susquehanna River. On August 6th, we went to Lakenwood Campground and led a church service for them. We talked about our summer service project to Detroit, Michigan. On the 13th, we went boating at Blue Marsh. On the 27th, we had a new youth party at Ed and Darlene Ringler's house. We played yard games, volleyball, cooled down in the pool, and got to know the new youth a lot better. On the 30th, we went to a Reading Phillies game, which they won. Going into September, on the 4th, we had our annual bike hike, and that was on the Schuylkill River Trail this year. On the 16th, we had a movie night hosted by Katie Ringler. On the 27th, we hosted a worship night here at church for youth groups, including Carpenters, Mellingers, and Stumptown. And from September 29th through October 1st, we had Leaders Weekend at the Brubacher's Cabin, where the new committee went for a weekend away to plan the upcoming year. And over that weekend, we planned a lot, learned more about being leaders, and just had a lot of fun getting to know each other better. On October 4th, we had the advisor hunt, which you may have seen on the slideshow. We had our advisors disguise themselves and walk around the New Holland Fair, and then the youth tried to find them. And after that, we watched the parade. And then on the 7th, we went pumpkin picking at Fred and Connie Rank's farm as a fundraiser. On the 29th, we had a barn party at Ken Nan Becker's farm, and we played barn games like electricity, train wreck, and we had a hay tunnel. And then to start off November, we went to Camp Deer Park in New York from the 3rd to the 5th, And the main thing we did there was cutting down trees and splitting wood so that they would have enough firewood to heat their cabins over the winter. And we also had a cool opportunity to talk with a group that was there from Brooklyn, New York, and compare our different cultures, which was really cool. And then on the 15th, some of the youth went spelunking, which is exploring a cave with lots of tight spaces. On the 29th, we had another worship night at Carpenters Community Church this time with other youth groups. And then this month, on December 2nd, we held babysitting here at church to give parents a free night out. And we were very pleased to have almost 20 kids attending. That was a lot of fun for the youth and the kids, I think. And at Bible studies recently, we've been talking a lot about finding our spiritual gifts and God's will for our lives. And just a note, you may have seen in the carport, we have service cards and papers that you can take if you want any of the youth or advisors to do a job for you. And then we'll use that as a fundraiser for our upcoming summer service project, which we do not know where we're going yet, but we appreciate your prayers and support for that. Thank you.
Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away.
And I will be reading Isaiah 40:1-11. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flocks like a shepherd and gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have the young.
I'll be reading Mark 1:1-8. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way, for the Lord is coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
I'll be reading 2 Peter 3:8-15. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be devoured by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be holy and live godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to the new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom that God gave him.
Well, good morning again to everyone. I must confess two things here. The first thing is I don't have my pulpit, and I have a tendency to be a pulpit hugger, so I guess I'm going to have to learn to adjust to that. That'll be okay, I think. Second thing is I've been battling the infamous winter cold that seems like everyone and their mother has been getting recently. So I think I'm almost over it. The upside of it is I think my voice drops a little bit when I'm sick, so it gives me a little bit more of a booming, authoritative speaking manner. The downside is I can be prone to getting the occasional middle school voice cracks. So if that happens, please bear with me. I swear that I'm 24, almost 25, not 13, going on 15. I sure hope that doesn't happen. All right. Well, when everyone is a little kid, they all have aspirations of what they want to be when they grow up. And everyone's goal and their desire is different from their friends. I had friends growing up who wanted to be firefighters, friends who wanted to be police officers, friends who wanted to be doctors or surgeons. I had a very humble goal, and my goal was simply that I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. And so as an aspiring Major League Baseball player growing up, I fully immersed myself in baseball. I knew everything about statistics. I could tell you the name of almost any player on every team, who was good, who was not good, who the Phillies should get, who the Phillies should not get. I could tell you everything. But because I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, I started to play the game of baseball as early as I could. So me and my brothers would play in the backyard. We hurt each other many times, but we were still friends despite that. And when I was 7 years old, I started playing organized baseball. So for 2 years, I played T-ball over at Brubaker Park. And then when I was 9 years old, I started playing Little League out in town. And I played on the Pirates. Do we have any Pirates in the house this morning? All right, I see a few hands. It's one of those things, if you're once a Pirate, you're always a Pirate. If you're not a Pirate, you wouldn't understand it. But I played for the Pirates, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I enjoyed going to practices. I enjoyed playing games, all because I had this goal that I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. And so when I was 11 years old, my team, the Pirates, did this thing that up to that point in my life was the highlight and the culminating moment of my life here on Earth. And that is, we won the Bowmansville Little League Championship. Against all odds, we finished third in the regular season out of six teams that year, and we were able to blaze our way through the playoffs and win the championship despite a rain delay and other effects that were in our way. And we won the championship, and I'll never forget that night. I came home, and I was probably the most excited little kid that the world had ever seen. Because for me, I was just one step closer to reaching my goal of being a Major League Baseball player. And so I just kept talking to my parents for probably half an hour or more about how great our victory was, rehashing every aspect of our triumph and the victory that was winning the championship. And eventually, I'm sure my parents loved to hear me talk about it, but anyone would get tired of that after a while. And so my mother wisely suggested that I call my grandfather and tell him about our victory. Now, this was, of course, number one, my grandfather's a big baseball fan, and he loved watching my games, so he'd love to hear about that, but also so that my parents could have a break from hearing their 11-year-old son talk about his victory. So I pick up my phone, and I dial my grandparents' number, 717-484-4022. I stick the phone up to my ear, and it rings once, it rings twice, and on the third ring, an elderly man picks up the phone on the other end and says, "Hello?" I said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, this is Jesse. You're never going to believe this, but we won the Little League Championship. The Pirates are the champions. And there was a silence on the other end for about 3 seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. And the older man on the other end says, "Son, I think you have the wrong number." In my excitement, I dialed the wrong number, and I told some elderly man in the zip code that I won the championship. And I'm sure he was happy for me, but it was not the person I wanted to talk to. I was able to communicate to my grandfather that we won, and he was proud of me. But in that moment, I was very excited to share my message because I had good news. And my good news was that my team had won the championship. Our passages today also deal with good news and the anticipation and the expectation of the arrival of this good news. And so this morning, I want to take a little bit to look at this good news that is upon us. And this good news is the good news that the Jews would have had with the coming of their Messiah. So this good news comes in four parts. And the first part of the good news is that God is coming in his glory to live with us and to rule us. This comes from Isaiah chapter 40, which Savannah read. Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 11 says, "Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, 'Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.' A voice said, 'Shout.' I asked, 'What should I shout?' 'Shout that people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." So the first part of this good news that is coming to Israel is that God is coming. God is coming to be the king. The second part, not only is God coming to be the king, but God is coming to restore everything and make all things new. Psalms 85, 8 to 13, which Devin read, "I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so our land will be filled with his glory. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps." I just love that line that says, righteousness and peace have kissed. When the Messiah comes, the Messiah that was prophesied for Israel, with his coming comes the restoration of all good things in Israel. So God is coming in his glory to rule, and God's coming to make all things new. But the cool thing is that God is not like me who likes to do stuff on his own. God wants to do this as a group project. God wants to partner with us. Mark 1, 1-3, which Colin read, says, "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" God wants to work with us. And the final part is that God is coming. God wants to work with us to restore all things. But we need to prepare ourselves for God's coming. Mark 1, 4-5. "The messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River." This was the good news that was upon the people of Israel with the arrival of Jesus, that God was coming. But I think to fully understand this, we need to do a little bit of a history lesson. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to attempt to break out my inner history professor, which isn't really much. But I want to explain this to you. So on Wednesday night at youth group, one thing we talked about was the Bible. What the Bible is, where the Bible comes from, and what the Bible is telling us. And what I told the kids is that you need to remember, the Bible is a story. The Bible is a story of God's relationship with his people. In the Old Testament, we see God's relationship with the people of Israel, and in the New Testament, we see the relationship between God and those who follow Jesus, those being Christians. And so in the Bible, we see this story where God is pursuing his people because God created his people out of love, and he wants them to follow his ways and live according to his ways. But God gives us free choice. And so as humans, we continue to walk away from God and choose our own ways, but God continues to call us back to him. And so in the Bible, we see this where the people walk away from God, and so he calls them back to him, and he gives them the law. And then they walk away again, and God gives them the temple. And they walk away again, and God gives them kings. And they walk away again, and God sends them prophets, and they go into exile. And in the midst of this cycle of God's people falling away and coming back to him, God promises that one day a Messiah will come to make all things new. And that Messiah is the man that we know as Jesus Christ. And so as these people are waiting for the Messiah to come, they're waiting for this Messiah figure who's going to come in all of his glory to make all things new, to right all the wrongs, and he's going to work with them to do this. They started to get pictures of what this Messiah just might look like. And I can tell you this, the Messiah they pictured is not the Messiah that they got. They pictured a Messiah who would come in on a horse, holding a sword in one hand, a shield in the other, and he would rid Israel of the Romans and restore Israel its kingdom. And together they would rule and everything would be right. But as we know in the Bible, that's not quite the Messiah that we got. Jesus did not come as a warrior king, but rather he came as a baby. A baby born to a single mother with a doubting father in a stable of a barn in a lowly town in Israel. That's kind of the opposite of a king when we hear about kings today. And through his life, he defied our expectations. They expected him to be this ruler who would rise up, kill the Romans, drive them out, and restore Israel. But instead, he lived a life of peace. He lived a life of love, and he lived through his teachings, through walking alongside of us, eventually dying for us, and then rising from the dead. He really defied people's expectations. But if we think about it, I think God defies our expectations today as well. We live in a society and a culture today where we like everything to be ordered. We like everything to be predictable so we know what the outcome will be, but God doesn't always quite work that way. In fact, God has a track record of doing the exact opposite. If we look through the Bible, the people that God uses a lot of times are not the people that we would pick. We have Noah in the Old Testament who was a drunkard. In the genealogy of Jesus, we see Rahab, who was a prostitute. We see a collection of farmers and shepherds, not the people that we would think God would use. And in our story today that Colin read, we see a man who defies our expectations of the messenger God would send. We see this guy, and his name is John the Baptist. And what we know about John the Baptist is that he was Jesus' cousin. He was a little bit older than Jesus. So he would have known about Jesus. They would have grown up together. But at some point in his adult life, he went off into the wilderness and started to live as a mountain man. And boy, did he ever look like a mountain man. The Bible describes him as wearing a cloak that was made out of rough camel's hair. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty uncomfortable to me. I've worn some articles of clothing before, mainly for nativity things or Bible reenactments. They're made of some rough stuff, and that is not fun to have against your skin. So I can't imagine why he would wear rough camel's hair. But he wears it all together with a belt. Says he had no shoes, so he's walking around barefoot. He probably smelled bad. And his diet consists of honey and wild locusts. Honey's pretty good. I've never had a locust before. I've had grasshoppers before because I was dared. And I wouldn't eat them again. But that was his diet. And so he's this very unconventional man. He comes out of the desert and preaches this message that there's an issue here, that people need to repent and make themselves ready because the king is coming. Those of you who are 90s kids will probably know the song Jesus Freak by DC Talk, which talks about John the Baptist and describes him as this unconventional man who comes out of the desert, preaches the good news. People either love him or people hate him, and in the end, the haters win and they cut off his head. But we see God using this unconventional figure named John the Baptist. As I was reading these passages this week, I couldn't help but wonder if the Christmas story and the Advent would happen in America today, would we really recognize it? Would we really want it? What would it look like? Because I feel like today in America, we have our lives very ordered, very predictable. And if God would try to do something like he did 2,000 years ago in America, what would that look like in our society today? Because I'm not convinced that John the Baptist could exist in our society today. And I think that's because we have an addiction problem here in the United States. We have an addiction problem that is holding us back from being the people that God created us to be. You know, we've all heard about drug addicts who abuse substances to mask their pain. They pack needles full of heroin and they inject it into their veins. But once the pleasure peaks and the ecstasy wanes, the high disappears, but the pain still remains. I'm sure we've all heard about pornography addicts who binge for hours on end, watching explicit videos online in search of affirmation that they are men. But when their fantasy ceases, they must face reality and stop playing pretend. But what if I told you that America's greatest addiction today is not drugs, nor is it porn? No, for when I preach against it, I myself am truly torn, for I realize that I'm the object of my own scorn, of the sins of a society into which I was born. Our addiction is not considered shameful, nor is it kept in the dark. Rather, we see it in our 401ks, our houses, and our shiny new cars. People brag about it to their friends in bars, and we see its glimpses in our loved ones' Christmas cards. By our own admission, we are all addicts, but our addiction is not to a substance, but rather a habit. We want life to go the way that we planned it, and when things fall apart and get tough, we flip out and we panic. Comfort is our LSD, and our heroin is security. These two have a stronger grip on our hearts than any pornography, holding us back from being the people God created us to be. God's Son overcame death and defeated the grave, yet we accumulate security believing that it can save. God calls us as his children to be brave, but we spend our days as comfort slaves. The irony is that our money says, "In God we trust," while in the meantime our values adjust and our faith in the Almighty slowly rusts. And so as we celebrate our homeless Savior from long ago, our actions and deeds begin to show the fact that we simply want control, and that is our American needle. Our addiction only ends when we throw comfort to the wind and learn to let trust in God begin. I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to be comfortable or to want to be safe and secure. Those are all natural things for us as people. It's what we desire. In a sense, it's what we need. But when those things begin to hold us back from following the plan of God and trusting in him, that's when we begin to have an issue. One of my faith heroes is a Christian singer, the late great Rich Mullins. And Rich Mullins once said that God takes the junk of our lives and makes the greatest art in the world out of it. And if he was cultured, if he was as civilized as most Christian people wish he was, he would be useless to Christianity. But God is a wild man. Our God is wild. He's unpredictable. And we don't see that any more so than in this Advent story, the story of Jesus coming to earth not as a king, but as a baby. I'm convinced that God wants to use us today. God wants to work through us in wild and unpredictable ways as well. And perhaps we need to let go a little bit of our control, a little bit of our security and our desire to be comfortable. Because when we're comfortable, it's good. I love being comfortable just as much as the next guy. I have a lazy boy in my house. Nothing better than propping my feet up and just chilling. But when we're comfortable, we can't grow. And when we're secure, we can't fully follow the plans that God has for us. So this Christmas season, as we wait for the arrival of Jesus, our Savior. As we long for him to come, let us marvel at the unpredictability, the uniqueness of his coming and his story, and realize that our God is unpredictable. Our God is wild. Perhaps we can learn a little bit from that as well. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent Jesus, your Son, to us. And we thank you that even though we would have rather had him as a king to restore justice and to reign over us, we thank you that you gave us not what we wanted, but what we needed. You gave us someone who was willing to teach us, someone who was willing to love us and live among us, someone who is willing to become God in the flesh for us. And so I pray for all of us this week as we prepare ourselves for Christmas that we might look at our lives and see the places where we're holding on to comfort and security a little too much. And I pray that we can let those go and follow your plan and your desire for our lives, because we know that your ways are higher than our ways. We know that your plans are better than our plans, God. And we know that you work in ways that we don't understand or comprehend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you.
Just a reminder that everyone is invited back this evening at 6:30 for a Christmas program. Bring your friends, bring your family. It's going to be a good time. I believe Piercing Word is going to be here to present a program for us. Now you can all rise and receive this parting benediction, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 3. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace. God bless.